I'd like to reserve about 3 minutes rebuttal.
Sorry,
Frank Crantill appearing for Mr. Hart.
Yeah, just keep an eye on that clock.
I sure will.
And you will have whatever's left to you.
All right. Your Honor, the question presented here is whether a public defender is acting under color of state law where he intentionally and willfully withholds evidence that would have exonerated his client. Now, I'd like to just kind of go over some of the facts that maybe not are they're not so obvious. I believe at trial I would be able to prove that the victim here alleged that her father never molested her as long as there was another female present during the visit at the R Ranch, which is up near Lake Berryessa. So the girlfriend testified that she was present on every one of those visits. The district attorney then chewed her up, made her look like a liar because she's a girlfriend. She sat down, went to the public defender and said, look, I've got receipts that corroborate the fact that I was at the R Ranch every one of these weekends. And the public defender said, Mr. Braun said, I'm the attorney here. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not putting that evidence on. So my client got convicted, spent 6 years in prison, and his direct appeal was affirmed. The state affirmed or denied all of his habeas petitions. The district court denied his habeas petition, and this Ninth Circuit reversed all of those courts.
They got your ineffective assistance claim.
Right.
Instead of filing a state malpractice claim, you're filing a 1983 case, and
right.
Miranda says you can't file that against an individual.
Right, and
attorney.
It talks about Polk, but Polk doesn't help us.
Right, but our case of Miranda says a public defender representing a client in the lawyer's traditional adversarial role is not a state actor.
Right. I can distinguish
what's,
that.
What's different?
There's a big difference here. First of all, Polk County doesn't help us. This is not a traditional function of an attorney not to present exonerating evidence. This is almost an obstruction of justice, Your Honor. Secondly,
what's your theory on motivation? Excuse me for interrupting, but what's your theory on motivation? Because if an attorney simply just blows it, whether it's
okay. That's you can't sue him for that. But when an attorney willfully withholds evidence, that's a different story. That's a big distinction here, and there's no law on it. And Polk County doesn't help us because Polk County says that if an attorney is acting within his traditional role, he's an adversary of the state, and therefore, you know, the state can't control him.
I'm not sure I understand the distinction you're trying to draw. Whenever an attorney chooses not to put on evidence, that's a willful failure to put on evidence.
Well, one is negligence or ineffectiveness, and one is a tort. There is a big difference.
Right.
I don't understand the difference. If you let me finish the question.
Well, I'm asking the court to draw a line here.
Why don't you listen to my question?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Would you repeat the question?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Whenever a lawyer has evidence and decides not to put it on, lawyers decide not to put on evidence all the time. Classic case is a situation where you've got a criminal defendant and the lawyer decides and advises the client, don't take the stand. Don't get on the stand. And it's a very common thing that now, in every sense of the word, you can say that that decision was willful.
That's correct.
The guy is there. He's saying, I'm willing to talk. I'm willing to get on the stand. I'll do what my lawyer tells me to do, because I trust my lawyer, and the lawyer just really blows it. This is really a case where the defendant should have gotten on the stand and spoken to the jury and told a story, and there were no good reasons that any common
right.
lawyer. That's willful. Is that the kind of case you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about a willful distortion of the trial. I'm talking about a willful, almost a criminal act here. He had the evidence. There's no reason why he shouldn't have put it on. He just said, I'm not going to put it on. He made a decision that obstructed justice. He made a decision that made the trial a farce. He made a decision that affected my client, who spent 6 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. That's pretty serious, and this court needs to draw the line somewhere. We can't give these public defenders carte blanche, and that's what Polk County does.
Why not?
Sorry, I don't mean to. I feel a little strongly about this.
Yes, I know, but you're basically. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're just also not answering my question. You're getting all excited.
Okay.
For your client, and you're really not answering my question. Lawyers make mistakes, and this is, you know, we have
right.
lawyers dealing with it. And what I'm trying to understand.
And that's intentional.
You know, you're talking again. It's
all right, I'm sorry.
You're talking. I'm going to ask the question just one more time. If you decide not to answer it, or you don't let me finish it, I'm not going to ask it again.
Go ahead.
Okay? When a lawyer makes a decision willfully not to put on evidence based on his judgment about the case, that's a willful decision. There's nothing accidental about it. And what I don't understand is how your case is different from any other case where the lawyer makes a judgment, maybe an erroneous judgment, maybe a bad judgment, that this is evidence he should not put on. How is your case, how is that different from any other case?
Well, it's a lot different, Your Honor. For example, I'll give you an example. Let's say the attorney is aware of an alibi that's solid, and he won't put it on. Now, what he's done, he's subverted the trial. That's a willful act. It's an intentional tort almost, Your Honor. It's not negligence.
How is that different from deciding not to put the
Well, there's no sound strategy in it, and it's in it, and it. There's no. It's different because there's no sound strategy not to put an alibi defense. Let's put it in my example. There's no sound strategy not to put a solid alibi defense on.
Well, if that's your standard, then any time a defendant gets federal habeas under an ineffective assistance of counsel claim, because by hypothesis you can only succeed under Strickland if the lawyer's decision is not based upon some strategic reason. So any time you get you succeed in your IAC claim, you can turn around and sue your public defender under 1983, under your definition.
No. It has to be flagrant.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but keep talking about a flagrant, intentional, and all that, but those are the words we hear on the IAC. So I have to agree with Judge Kaczynski. It seems to me that you're saying anytime it rises to the level of constitutionally ineffective assistance of counsel, then you've got a 1983 claim. I don't understand what line you could have us draw. What makes it a state actor if the guy really screws up and tries?
Because he's not acting within the traditional role of an attorney, and he's not the state adversary. He's actually helping the state by withholding evidence that would exonerate his client. So Polk County doesn't help. Polk County, and Miranda talks about the specific holding. He's not an adversary here. He's not.
You're not claiming here when you say helping the adversary. You're not actually claiming that there was an agreement or deal or conspiracy with the prosecution.
I can't prove that, Your Honor, but who knows? I mean, I can't prove that. What I'm really trying
to... I'm asking whether that's what you're alleging, that's what your complaint alleges.
I don't allege a conspiracy. I wish I did. If I had a conspiracy, then Tower versus Glover would be the answer. But see, there's no law on this. This is I'm asking the court to draw a line somewhere. When, I mean, under your standard, an attorney is never going to be held responsible. The state's never going to be held responsible, and we're going to continue to have ineffective assistance to counsel at the public defender level.
Well, if you're making a policy argument, why don't you just sue under state malpractice tort theory? I mean, why isn't that an adequate remedy? In fact, a superior remedy. I mean, you get so many
Superior remedy, Your Honor. I think this is a superior remedy. You go to a federal judge and you say, look, my client didn't get his case was justice was subverted here, and we need to do something about it. Now, the purpose of a 1983 lawsuit is to deter this kind of action. But
you don't think malpractice deters this kind of action?
It can, but this is a better deterrence. I mean, what difference does it make? We need to deter it.
Big judgment against a lawyer on a state malpractice action filed by a criminal defendant isn't going to deter him?
It's a deterrent, but this one I think would be a stronger deterrent.
I mean, do people care whether the predicate has a federal statute in front of it or a state's tort?
I would just say, Your Honor, I really feel strong about this. I think the Ninth Circuit has to do something to stop this kind of activity. A public defender under Polk County has carte blanche. He can do what he wants. He can say, I'm not going to put on any evidence. And he gets away with it because of Polk County, and we've got to have some accountability here. We've got executive, we've got what's going on with the scandals in corporations. No one's taking responsibility. We've got to take some responsibility. The public defender's got to take some responsibility. If he's got an assistant that's doing this kind of stuff, that man needs to be fired. He shouldn't be a public defender.
So losing your job isn't enough. Getting disbarred isn't enough. Getting a state malpractice action isn't enough. 1983 is the answer?
Well, I think it should be available, Your Honor. I really do. Okay. And as far as, let me just finish, the heck thing, if you look at the decision, it's comparable to a malicious prosecution. One of the elements of malicious prosecution is that the case has to be successfully terminated. This case was not dismissed until January 6th, and in December there was a filing, so it's well within the 1 year.
Okay. I'll hear from opposing counsel.
He wants to substitute state malpractice law and turn it into 1983 law. I've said what I had to say. Polk County has said it. Miranda has said it. Candidly, I have nothing to add. I can't believe that there's anything I can say to you, gentlemen, that will clarify any aspect of this of a lawsuit. If you have questions of me.
Thank you. Apparently not. Thank you.
That's what I expected.
The case is argued. We'll stand some minutes. United States versus Thurman.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Rene Valladares. I'm here for Mr. Thurman. In this case, the coercive shock and awe tactics used during the arrest of Mr. Thurman